to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, June 11th, and here I am live with you tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, our award-winning broadcast, live, unrehearsed, and uncensored once again. Over 6 years now, we have been bringing this show to you without fail, tirelessly carrying that weight on our shoulders. We do it all for you, our fans, our friends. It's our duty, honor, and privilege to serve as your voice. It's Saturday evening, June 11th. As I just mentioned, kind of been a rough week for me. My wife, she's a triplet, by the way. I don't know, you know, people always get a kick when I tell them that. People who know my family know that she's a triplet. She has a twin sister and a twin brother, obviously not identical, but nevertheless, still triplets. And my wife's twin sister had to come into Memphis this week to have surgery, and it was a very last-minute deal. She and her family live in Texas, but they moved there recently, and so their doctors are up here in Memphis still. And so she came to Memphis to have surgery this week. And all that again, very, very last minute. I was supposed to have been in North Carolina tonight at the Council of Conservative Citizens 2011 National Conference, but was not able to make it there under the circumstances due to this situation in the family. So for anyone out there listening tonight that is at the council conference in North Carolina, I understand that it went very well, as it always does, and was a success, as it always is. This is actually my first time in 6 years to miss the CFCC conference, and I hated to miss it because it wasn't until just literally the day before I was scheduled to be there to give a speech that I found out that because of these unfortunate circumstances, I wouldn't be able to go. So I'm glad to hear that it went off so well. Of course, we've been promoting the council conference on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We had Gordon Baum, the chief executive officer of the council, on this radio program a couple of weeks ago to promote the event. And I'm glad that it went off well, even without me there. But another thing special about today is that it was 10 years ago today. I was talking to you about my wife and her sister. 10 years ago today, I met my wife for the first time. June 11th, 2001, I met my wife for the first time ever. And believe it or not, this might sound a little cliche, but we actually met at church. It was 10 years ago yesterday. I was at my home, and the pastor of the church, my pastor, came and asked me. They said they were short on drivers. They needed some drivers to take the youth group up to, you know, their summer camp, which of all places, I mean, how perfect is this? It was at Nathan Bedford Forrest State Park, not the city park here in Memphis that we protected, that this radio show protected a few years ago, but this is Nathan Bedford Forrest State Park, which is in between Memphis and Nashville. Anyway, long story short, they needed extra drivers, so I said, sure, I'll do it. And then on the next day, June 11th, 2001, I went there. My wife, or the girl who would become my wife later, was one of the people who needed to ride, and needed to ride, and lo and behold, she got assigned to my car, and that is how we met 10 years ago today. And now 10 years later, married, got a house, a mortgage, more bills than we can pay in a baby. So that's a lot of things can change in 10 years. 10 years ago, this show wasn't even on the air yet, but I remember it well. Anyway, folks, so we got a lot of stuff to cover this hour. I appreciate you. You know, we're all family here. We're all family here. So I feel comfortable talking to you about my family and sharing with you a couple of stories there. Thank you for indulging me nonetheless. I got a lot of political stories and a lot of political ground to cover this hour. But before we do, got a quick caller we're going to take. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hi, James. Hey, thanks for taking my call. This is Big D calling from Colorado. How are y'all doing down there?
Hey, doing pretty good. I don't know if we're doing as well as you are in Colorado, at least not in terms of the weather. It's pretty hot and miserable, as it always is in the South in the summer. But what can I do for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, James, I do miss it. I love Colorado, but I do miss the people down there and the food and the races and all that. But
as watered down as it is compared to what it was 100 years ago, the culture still in the South is second to none. So heat and all, I endure it because this is where my roots are and this is where my people are. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
What can we do for
my,
you?
My dad's in Eastern Tennessee, so I'm missing it, but I'm not going to lie to you. The weather out here in Colorado is pretty good. it's about 68. We're still sunny right now, no humidity, so we're doing all right.
I bet you are.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said I bet you are. What can we do for you, bud?
Well, hey, I heard you and Keith talking about religion, and I couldn't agree with you more on the infiltration of this the cultural Marxism and the mindset of a lot of these denominations that are coming about. But I want to say that something that's probably going to even be politically correcting for you, James, and I think this is an area where you need to get your friend Hutton Gibson on and talking about Christianity in general and talking about, you know, if God wants us and loves us to be with him, and he sent his Savior, or our Savior, his Son, our Savior, and through him we cannot achieve eternity with God, wouldn't it make sense that God would found one church for all of us to adhere to? And with that, wouldn't Protestantism, or Protestant, I'm kind of tongue-tied right here, but being Protestant, the Protestant Reformation, wouldn't that be considered the beginning of really the liberalism in the church?
You know, that is a very provocative question, and being a Protestant myself, it's a can of worms that regrettably we don't have time to explore tonight. You know, I think what would be great, and you mentioned Hutton Gibson. Yeah, he would certainly have an opinion on that, and in fact, we might be at odds on that one to a small degree. But it's something we should explore. You know, Bill Rowland is really the, even to a greater extent than myself and Keith Alexander, is really the resident theologian when it comes to matters pertaining to the question you just asked. I'll tell you what. When we have more time to cover it, I'll promise we're going to put that on the docket, and we're going to explore that question because it is a good one, and it deserves a good answer, and it deserves an answer far more comprehensive than the time I have to give it tonight. But I do want to thank you for the call, and thank you for listening.
James, I can't thank you enough for taking the call. I'm praying for you guys, and keep up the good work. I'm a fixture here. I'm listening to you all on the Liberty News Network at 6 o'clock, or actually 5 o'clock here in the mountain time. So keep up the good work.
Hey, we will, buddy. God bless you, and thanks for the call, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the program tonight. I know we're coming up on a commercial break here in just a matter of seconds, so I just want to recap for you.
Don't go away. There's more.
Well, there it is. You know, you speak of it, and there it is. We're going to get to work right after this. Got a lot coming your way. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Listen, we promised you a dynamite show this evening, so we're going to pack the powder in pretty hard right now and light the fuse. We hope you enjoyed the first hour with Keith Alexander, as our caller from Colorado said that he did. Of course, Keith Alexander and I spent the entirety of the first hour talking about how political correctness and cultural Marxism has subverted and influenced the Christian church by and large. And we explored that with pretty great detail. And we're going to continue to talk about similarly related issues, although we are going to get a little more political in nature this hour. First thing I want to bring to your attention Michelle Bachmann. This is a story that was actually sent to me by Eddie the Bombardier Miller, political cesspool co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who has just joined me in our studio tonight here in downtown Memphis. Eddie, welcome back.
It's great to be back. A matter of fact, James, coming in, you were talking about your family earlier, and I will say I've fallen in love with a little Isabella. That I've seen kids, you know, I'm an ORN. I've been around kids all my life, and I'm not saying it because James is like my son, but Isabella is as beautiful a child as you'll ever see. She is absolutely precious. But back to that, James, a quick opening statement. You talk about cultural Marxism in the churches, and I heard you and my brother Keith talking in the last segment a little bit, and it's filtered even in my church, which is supposed to be, like y'all were talking about, the fundamentalist churches. Now, as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ, where I go to church here in Memphis is rock solid. But when you get away from that, you know, my pastor is almost a cultural Marxist, and I cannot understand him because he's just determined to force the Mexicans down our throat. You know, we have one Sunday a month, he brings the Mexicans in, which he refers to as the gracious Spaniards. He brings them in by the busload, I may add, to our church to mingle as he calls English, with the white folks. And what's ridiculous to me is they'll have a sermon and they have a Spanish minister will give some of it and he'll give some of the others. Of course, I never attend that. I will not have that forced down my throat. It's caused me a lot of heartache, James. As you well know, I've started to leave the church on several political issues. And this is one that's really almost driven me away. And I could talk about that for an hour.
Well, we will. And we're going to continue to talk about that. I guess we're going to be talking about some other things as well. But that's the theme of tonight's show. And it's not going to be something that we revisit every show, but it is the theme, the central theme for tonight's broadcast. Manifestation of cultural Marxism in the churches. We've talked about some of the more liberal churches in the first hour, and you expect it to be in some of the bigger mega churches. But Eddie goes to a very small, relatively small, fundamentalist Southern Baptist church, and even now it's rearing its ugly head there. And one of the things that you will certainly find in almost all churches these days is this, and this comes from Michelle Bachmann. She is a member of Congress from Minnesota. She's a Tea Party darling, and she's flirting, perhaps, with a run for the presidency itself. And she really, really loves Israel. She obviously knows where her bread is buttered. This story comes from a news article that I found and placed for you at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It reads, at a Republican Jewish coalition event in Los Angeles last week, Representative Michelle Bachmann offered a candid view of her position on Israel. And it was this, and I quote, she said, support for Israel is handed down by God. And if the United States pulls back its support for Israel, America will cease to exist. Now, this, again, is more false doctrine. This is not true. This is some of that Scofield teaching Keith was talking about earlier in the program. This was not a belief that was accepted widely up until about 50, 60 years ago when America really started to spin off of its axis. And so you have this now with Michelle Bachmann. And, you know, this is what the Republican Party is pushing down our throats. Watered down so-called Christians like Michelle Bachmann, the Israel worshiping Michelle Bachmann, Mitt Romney, people like that. She is, of course, subservient to Israel, to her Zionist overlords. She's in the pocket of AIPAC. On the last day of the AIPAC policy conference, Michelle Bachmann had this to say. I'm honored to be a member of Congress and be in a position to where I can help Israel. I have a tremendous love for Israel and a great admiration for the Israeli people. I'm a Christian. And she's a Gentile, by the way. But I consider myself to be Jewish because it is on the Jewish foundation that the roots of my faith as a Christian grow. So let me just say this very quickly. Let me say this very quickly because I know Eddie's chomping at the bit to get in on this. This is the best we can hope for out of the Republican Party these days. And unfortunately, this is the kind of dispensationalist teaching that we're getting out of the churches. Little disclaimer. Not all Jews are part of the problem here, but Jews are by and large, the most radically liberal element of the American population. That is an indisputable fact of the matter. Yes, there are Jews that we have on this radio program that seem to be on board with us on the issues. And in those cases, you know, we're happy to work with them. But again, sadly to say, that is the exception to the rule. How the Christian churches can be bought and paid for lock, stock, and barrel by radical Zionist interests are, it's a marvel to me. You know, the churches complain about the war on Christmas. In 100% of the cases, who is behind the war to remove nativity scenes from the public square? It's Jewish people, okay? It's Jewish people. Who is behind, you know, a story we're going to be talking about a little bit later tonight? Who's behind, you know, this lawsuit? Who was the judge who ruled that a school in Texas can't pray at their graduation ceremony? Okay, it's Jewish people. And I wish that wasn't the case, but people, you got to have facts. You know, I can actually hear the keyboard clacking right now. You know, I can hear people at the ADL or some liberal newspaper typing right now about this anti-Semitic screed that James Edwards went into on the Political Cesspool radio program. You know, they're writing it right now. Well, what did he say? What did James say on the Political Cesspool? He said that Jews are liberal. You know, if I say that Jews are in control of the movie studios, they would write that that's, you know, neo-Nazi rhetoric. No, yeah, it's a fact. And it's a fact that they celebrate in their own publications. It's not anti-Semitic. It's not hate. I don't hate anybody. But I certainly love the truth. I don't hate anybody. You know, I'm not a racist because I say that blacks commit a disproportionate amount of the crimes in this country. That is a fact backed up by the United States Department of Justice and the FBI. That's a fact. I'm not an anti-Semite because I say that Jews control Hollywood and Jews are really the ones who are behind the war against Christian and the war against conservative tradition in this country. These are facts, and they're indisputable facts. And I just say that to say this, you know, it's just amazing to me, again, that the churches are so subservient to an interest that is so alien to their stated purpose. Eddie, I know you have a lot of comments on this. We really only have a couple of seconds. Well, I'll tell you, actually, I'm going to ask you to hold on to the commercial break because we're coming up in 15 seconds to commercial break. But you see this kind of stuff all the time. Michelle Bachmann, you know, what she's doing isn't just pandering. It's grotesque pandering, and it serves as just another seemingly endless example that perfectly illustrates why Sam Francis correctly referred to the GOP as the stupid party. And it's too bad that GOP candidates like Michelle Bachmann don't love their own country as much as they do others. America first, everybody. We're going to take a break. Eddie's going to chime in on it right after this.
Political cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. James Edwards and Eddie the Bombardier Miller here with you Saturday evening, June 11th. Political Cesspool radio program. Central theme for tonight's show is how cultural Marxism is now afflicting the church, just as it is all of our institutions. And we're talking about issues somewhat related to that, at least primarily we are. Talking about Michelle Bachmann here, Tea Party darling, you know, Christian conservative Republican, so they say, and her subservience to Israel. People are probably wondering, well, how does every politician seem to end up in the back pocket of the Zionist lobby? It's not a conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not even hard to understand. You know, look at the records. Look at the facts of what's going on here. Why is Michelle Bachmann, the biggest cheerleader for Jewish interests? She's bought and paid for. They're not threatening her. They're not blackmailing her. Look at her open financial record. She has been on numerous trips. You know, one trip she took with her family, it was a $20,000 trip that the Zionist AIPAC sent her to Israel, and they smooge them, and they wine and dine all of these elected officials. You know, they put them up in 5-star resorts in Israel, and they give them this great presentation about how they're oppressed and how their interests are her interests, and that, you know, we're all in this together. And in the meantime, on the other side, you know, they're attacking the truth tellers like me and people like Ted Pike and so many others that are featured on the show as you know, degenerates, falsely accusing us and attacking our character. And in the meantime, you know, she's living in the lap of luxury at their expense, and she takes all these great vacations on their dime, and they contribute to her campaign. Well, you know, after, you know, money talks and BS walks, as they say, and truer words were never spoken. You throw enough money at someone, and you will be a true believer in their cause. And that is why all of these so-called Christian conservative Gentile representatives up there in Washington are singing the Zionist line. It's that simple, really. There's nothing more to it. You know, I wish that we had people that had principles, and that they couldn't, you know, their principles couldn't be bought for X number of dollars. But there's no people in Washington with that sort of moral integrity. Anyway, Eddie, you sent me this story on Michelle Bachmann, and we're going to go from here into a couple of other stories that are closely related to the central theme of tonight. But I know you've been waiting for 10 minutes now to talk about this.
Yep. I'd just like to add a few little things that you touched on, James. This Michelle Bachmann, see, they started recruiting her when she was in high school, James. As a matter of fact, the first year she was out of high school, 1974, she went and spent a summer working in a kibbutz in Israel. And one thing jumped out to me immediately, James. I guarantee you Michelle Bachmann would not be for shutting down the Mexican border. She's not for arming American citizens. But she is big time in favor. She was just gushing with praise for the Israelites over there, the Jews, because they have such tight security. You know, their borders are armed to the teeth. They don't let people in and out unless they check their IDs and stuff. You think these Republicans would go for that here in the United States? No, they wouldn't. You touched on why these politicians, James, are bought and sold. Look at the current president, his number one contributor, the people that own him, lock, stock, and barrel, Goldman Sachs. They are his biggest contributor. They run him like a puppet on a string. And I'll tell you something else. If you have a politician that bucks AIPAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee, AIPAC, if they buck them, they will not get any money. They will not be concluded in the committees in Congress. They will not get any publicity unless it's bad. And another thing they do, James, these rich folks, these sons of Abraham, so to speak, they will finance another candidate to run against somebody that bucks them, that tries to cross them. And that's how they beat them.
But it's really not that bad of an idea. You know, certainly we're dealing with people. When you look at the tactics that they put into play against us, against true America First people, you'll know that these people have no morals, and that they will lie, cheat, and steal. They'll do whatever it takes to be effective. But as far as it goes with these politicians, they don't have to. They only play dirty with people who won't go along with their agenda. They don't have to play dirty against these politicians because they're just going to buy them out. And if they didn't go for it, they would just buy somebody else out to beat them. And so there, you know, that's not actually that immoral. But what you see here are people, and I'm talking about the Zionist lobby here, committed to a cause. And they're going to see that their cause is successful no matter what. And as far as that goes, Eddie, you have to admire them at least for that. They have the kind of resolve that I only wish our people had, and it's a resolve that our people once used to have before we got soft.
James, you mentioned the churches a minute ago. I'd like to get back on the churches for a minute. And this is the big mystery to me. Is, you know, James and I were talking on the break. This week, matter of fact, Wednesday, this past Wednesday, the 8th of June, was the 44th anniversary of the Israeli attack on the United States ship Liberty. Israel attacked that ship over a period of, 2 to 4 hours. They tried their best to sink that ship, and they couldn't. The reason they wanted to do it, they wanted to blame it on Egypt to suck the United States into yet another Zionist war. But if you know what? How many of you people out there, I challenge you to tell me if there's one person out there that's even heard one mention of the United States ship Liberty being sunk in attempted to be sunk in 1967. And here's another thing. In my church, I forward article after article after article about such atrocities as that, and about, you know, about nativity scenes being taken down. In my church, and the people in church, for some reason, they won't comment. Their eyes glaze over, and all they can say, James, is, well, you know, we have to support Israel. I mean, it says in the Bible we have to support Israel, but it doesn't. Folks, I would like to tell you just quickly, I'm not going to talk about the Bible.
And Michelle Bachman said that too, Eddie, just a moment.
Yes, she did.
She said, if America doesn't support Israel, America will cease to exist. This is the fanatical and rabid loyalty that these people pretend to have.
And I would like to mention, I'd just like to ask you people, I'm 64 years old, and I'd like to ask you, are we better off since 1948, that's the year we started funneling billions of dollars into Israel? This country is about ready to go down. And another thing, as far as Christianity, you can go back in the archives and get what I'm getting ready to tell you. I'm just going to go over it real quick. Like, if you'll read the 23rd chapter of Matthew, read the entire chapter of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, and also go read the entire chapter of 3rd Galatians. And by the way, these come from the King James Bible, which is the gold standard. And okay, and go and read the 8th chapter of John, 37 and through 44. If you'll just read those verses right there, that will, especially Galatians, the 3rd chapter of Galatians, that spells out exactly what the criteria is to be a Christian. And I'll tell you, folks, it ain't being a Jew.
And of course, anyone can accept Christ and inherit the kingdom of heaven. But you have this now, another false doctrine in the Christian church is that there's a dual covenant. And that all of a sudden, you know, the Bible's wrong. And really, these people who are at war with God and Christ every day, they really will go to heaven just because they were born under a separate covenant, but everybody else has to accept Christ and live the way the Bible teaches in order to get there. So anyway, Eddie, we got homework assignments for you now, ladies and gentlemen. What was it, Eddie? If they have pen and paper in hand, they need to read Matthew chapter 23 of the King James Bible. Galatians 3, and this will put into biblical perspective what the Bible has to say about this certain group of people and what it is to be a true Christian. Now, again, we don't want to be preachy. This is a political talk show. Certainly, we are Christians here, and we've let this be known time and time again. But, you know, a lot of times you have so-called Christians out there that are putting out Eddie put it in a word, crap. And so, you know, our faith isn't that far separated from our politics. So sometimes there is an overlap on this program. I realize not everyone who listens to the show shares our faith. And that's fine, you know. That's fine. I've said it also in the past that I would much rather be in a trench on the front lines with, you know, someone who shares my belief on other issues than with some of these people that claim to be Christians that are out there actively working against everything that America is supposed to stand for. Eddie, you mentioned the fact that you have sent to your church emails, endless articles, and including some emails this week about the USS Liberty. I've got a few things to say about that, and we will when the political cesspool continues right after these words from our sponsors.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
J. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you know, we're talking tonight about the issues of some examples, I should say, of political correctness, cultural Marxism in the church, and how it affects politics in general. Talking about Michelle Bachmann, you know, like I said, this is a political talk show. It sometimes, inevitably, because we believe that our faith and our politics overlap, you're going to get some of that overlap. But at the end of the day, we realize that you're tuning in to hear political commentary and not hear sermons and things of that nature. So we're happy that you're indulging us this evening. But, you know, we wouldn't bring it up if it weren't for every day you have people out there like Michelle Bachmann, who supposedly represents our political ideology. She is supposed to be a conservative Christian Republican or, you know, a Tea Partier or somebody like that. And then yet here she is. And does she really believe what she's saying, or is she just saying it because she's getting paid to say it? Well, that's really irrelevant. But anyway, if they're putting it out there, if you got politicians out there, you know, making an issue saying that America will cease to exist unless we continue to support the Zionist state of Israel, well, we've got to talk about that on the Political Cesspool Radio program. That's our duty. And that's why we're talking about it tonight. We're talking about it pretty extensively. We're going to have a blowout on it tonight. And then, we're going to cover some other things in the weeks to come. And then we'll revisit this as time proves necessary. But Eddie was talking about, you know, the emails he sends to the members at his church, which is a small Southern Baptist fundamentalist church, talked about the USS Liberty. Well, everybody knows that Israel deliberately attacked the USS Liberty, knowing that it was an American vessel, to try to blame it on the Egyptians to get America sucked into a war there. We're not going to revisit that whole story tonight because it's just too comprehensive. But I will tell you this. If you go to the Political Cesspool broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org, we did give this issue the comprehensive and extensive coverage that it deserved back on June the 8th of 2008. You got to go back to 2008. You got to go back 3 years in the archives to June 8th of 2008. We shed some light on a very dark day in American history. It was on June 8th of 1967 that, as I mentioned, Israel launched a deliberate and unprovoked attack on the United States ship Liberty. On that show, June 8th, 2008, which is available to you in our broadcast archives on demand, we were joined by three of the surviving members of the USS Liberty, Ron Kukol, Gary Brummett, and Phil Turney. Three survivors of that infamous attack were with us, and they told us their uncensored story. So if the attack on the USS Liberty is something that interests you, we're not going to get into it tonight, but since it is the anniversary or near the anniversary of that attack, that attack was on June 8th of 1967, so we just passed the anniversary. Go back to June 8th, 2008. Listen to that show in the archives. You'll be glad you did.
James, I was just going to chime in. You know what's laughable to me? Like James just said, we had three of the survivors. These people, they happened to be there when it happened, James, I know. So they might not know much, but they were there. And I know they couldn't possibly know as much as these clowns that were supposed to have an investigation sent from the government to investigate it, to come to the real conclusion and find out what really happened. But strange as it is, the United States government ain't never done no investigation, James. Did you know that? I wonder why, folks.
And there's no celebration. There's no, 1 hour special on Oprah each year. It wasn't nearly as important as, Rosa Parks' death, where she laid in state for a week. It wasn't nearly as important as that all of these members of the United States Navy were butchered. They had no weapons to even defend themselves. It was a surveillance ship. Anyway, we're going to revisit this thread a little bit later. During the third hour, we're going to talk to you about a judge, and he wasn't a Muslim judge. Ruled that if you prayed in school at this Texas high school, you'd be subject to imprisonment.
Were the Irish?
And he wasn't Irish either. We're going to be talking about that in the third hour tonight. But I want to get away, hit a couple of quick stories just to kind of offer a little flavor tonight. We're going on a quick world tour. This is a stat that astonished me. I mean, we know that, you know, the Africans really aren't on par with us when it comes to, you know, certain standards of measurement. And, you know, that they're more prone to crime. The IQ scores aren't quite on the level with us and some other things. I heard somebody provide commentary with us that they were blaming a rash of black-related crime here in America to the heat and to global warming. And, you know, what made global warming? Well, the white people are responsible for global warming because we created cars and airplanes and all of these things that contribute to so-called global warming, and therefore it makes the world hotter and it makes blacks commit more crime. Well, see, here over in Africa, they came from a simpler time, Eddie. They had never, they didn't have cars and airplanes to contribute to the heat. And they didn't have, they weren't bothered with things like a written language or the will, for instance. And so, but because of global warming, it's really hot now. And that's what's causing them to create all these crops. It must be scorchingly hot in the Congo. In the African nation of Congo, and I'm sure that somehow, some way, 18th century, Southern slavery in the United States is the reason that they still behave like this in Africa, even though that was 200 years ago. I'm sure that the Confederacy had something to do with why they're still acting out in the Congo. But listen to this stat. This is pretty incredible, even for an audience like mine who knows the score when it comes to crime. 48 women are raped every hour in the African nation of Congo. That's just one nation. 48 women raped every hour of every day on average in the Congo. This story comes from the Huffington Post, a good liberal outfit, so you know they got to be telling the truth. At least they'd be telling the truth on something like this, because they would normally want to distort or hush up something like this. This story comes from Dakar, Senegal. The African nation of Congo has been called the worst place on earth. A new study released Wednesday shows that it's even worse than previously thought. 1,152 women are raped every day in the Congo, a rate equal to 48 per hour. Over 1,000 Congolese women are raped every hour in that nation. And let me tell you something, there ain't a single white person there. There's not a single white person there. It has nothing to do with 18th century slavery. It has nothing to do with European colonialism in Africa. And it has everything to do with who they are. 1,000 women raped every day in the Congo. This analysis, this study, which was published by the American Journal of Public Health, shows that more than 400,000 people were raped in the Congo between 2006 and 2007. 400,000 women raped in the Congo, the African nation, in a year. 1,152 women a day, 48 every hour. And the cultural Marxists, the same people that are feeding Michelle Bachmann the propaganda that she spews out, will tell you that you could bring the rapist from the Congo, you could bring them to America, you could give them free education and welfare, and that they'll turn into good American citizens just like you and me. That's what they teach us. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is what, unfortunately, these are the issues that we're charged with telling you about here on the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Because no one else would do it. Now, the Indians, I told you we could learn something from the Indians. See, the Indians are in a good position, Eddie, because they're not white. And so they can do things that we couldn't do. They can do smart things that we wouldn't be able to do, and they can get away with it. And I'm not talking about the so-called Native Americans. I'm not talking about the American Indians. I'm talking about the real Indians, the Indian Indians in India. Well, look what they're doing. This story comes from the Indian Times, big paper over there. Bars in Bangalore, India are denying entry to nationals from Africa, from African countries, citing security reasons as the common belief that all ebony-skinned people are drug peddlers, scamsters, and troublemakers. So we just told you that story from Congo. The facts that have been published there from a study of that nation, and published by one of the most liberal sources on the planet, the Huffington Post. And so, you know, people in India realize that, look, they say that they're drug peddlers, they're scamsters, and they're troublemakers. They will not let people from African countries into their restaurants. They will not let them into their restaurants. You know, here in America, they were doing that in the 50s and 60s, and we were told how bad it was. I guarantee you it was a lot safer. And most of these bars and pubs, though, in India,
believe it or not,
These Africans are frowned upon, so on and so forth, and they don't let them in. Well, that's what's going on in India. They put the safety of their citizens ahead of the hurt feelings of others. It's a lesson America needs to look at. We're going to take a break. Third hour coming up.